and surround his library, bookstore, and publishing firm. The sign notes that books are the source of knowledge and help to shape people's identity. The ideas contained in books cannot be erased by bombs and warplanes. They will live on. This library is my whole life, said Mansour. I was shocked when the Israeli occupation decided to bomb the building. It felt like I myself had been destroyed. The library benefits all members of society, he added. It is an independent library that has nothing to do with politics. I did not expect for a moment that it would be bombed in this way. This means that the Israeli regime wants to destroy our identity and culture in Gaza. It's shameful, he added. Mariam Riaz, a history student at Al-Aqsa University in Gaza, described the library as a constant companion. There is no student at our university who hasn't been in this library, she said. It was both beautiful and useful. I have so many memories from there. Khaled Omar, an engineering student at Al-Azhar University, immersed himself in literature thanks to the library. I would borrow a novel or a collection of poetry, he said, and I would absorb these books. When I saw thousands of books destroyed and lying on the ground, I felt that my own heart had been destroyed. The Israeli regime does not respect books and culture. That's why it has bombed a library. As well as running the library and bookstore, Mansour's firm published books by local authors. The firm worked with more than 150 writers, as well as publishing translations of European literature. Mansour has calculated that he lost at least $700,000 worth of books and equipment as a result of the bombing. Another bookstore owned by Shaban Aslim was destroyed during last month's offensive against Gaza. The Israeli regime has a history of attacking Palestinian arts and culture. In 2018, for example, the Zionist regime bombed the Said Mishal Cultural Center. That five-story building hosted Gaza's main theater, as well as other classes, poetry readings, and exhibitions. During last month's attack, the Zionist regime also bombed the Ghazi Shawa building hosting the Gaza offices of Open Screenplay. A Canadian firm, Open Screenplay, has developed technology to assist budding movie writers. While none of Open Screenplay's staff were harmed, the firm reported that at least four people were killed when the building was bombed. Another facility attacked by the Israeli regime was the recording studio Masharek. It was in that studio that the popular singer Mohammed Asif, best known for winning the TV contest Arab Idol, made his first recordings. The Basma Society for Culture and Arts, which offers drama programs for children and women, was damaged too. The bombing of Samir Mansour's project has caused a widespread revulsion. Palestinians in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood of occupied East Al-Quds quickly demonstrated their support for Mansour by opening a bookstore named in his honor. The act of solidarity is poignant given that Sheikh Jarrah has become synonymous with ongoing efforts by the Zionist regime to force Palestinians out of their homes. Muhammad Al-Sharif from Gaza's Culture Ministry noted that Samir Mansour's library was one of 44 cultural institutions destroyed or damaged by the Israeli regime last month. More than $3 million worth of damage was inflicted on Gaza's cultural sector, the ministry has calculated. The Israeli regime believes that destroying our cultural institutions will make us forget our cause, Al-Sharif said, adding, "But that will not happen. We will keep on reading."
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Rabbana
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the supplication of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, muhimmat, painful occasions, mulimmat, and intense grief, Al-Qurubat. And we were discussing verse number 5. In fact, we just started discussing verse number 5, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam in reality is expressing the problem that he is facing. And actually, in reality, he is also teaching us that expressing the problems before Allah is something which is meritorious. Yes, whatever phenomenon transpires in this world is out of Allah's mercy, wisdom, love, and of course he is elevating the believer when the believer is facing these problems. Yet the believer is allowed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that relief, and that is why Imam also expresses this and teaches us also that this is how you should express the problem that you have. In this verse, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, وَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّي مَا قَدْ تَكَأَدَنِي ثِقْلُهُ وَأَلَمَّ بِي مَا قَدْ بَهَضَنِي حَمْلُهُ. And indeed, on me has befallen, O Lord, something the weight of which has distressed me, and I have been visited with something the load of which has indeed weighed down on me. We said that what is important is to understand the reality that as you are addressing Allah, you are using the word Rabb, and therefore two things can be derived from this, that whatever is transpiring on you, all the phenomena that Allah makes or allows that it transpires on you is out of wisdom, love, and mercy, because you are a believer. And he wants your elevation. And it is the problems that you have created yourself that has come to yourself. If you go and see, the reality is that the masaib and the problems and afflictions that a person gets because of the sins. You find that the sins are the cause. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the person as he cleanses him, and because of the problems that he faces. Or sometimes it is from outside himself, because some oppressor is oppressing him. Here also you find Allah is elevating the person. So when he says Rabbi, he's first of all, it is as if he is confessing that whatever is happening is due to my good, because you are my Rabb, you are training me. And secondly, he's also saying, O Lord, O the one who is training me, make it so that this problem comes out from me, yet I become higher in my tarbiyah, in my training, and I get elevated. So this is one way. Also, some of the scholars say that this Rabbi is to try to attract mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the Rabb, and the Rabb is a person who is al-Malik and al-Mudabbir, the one who is the owner of a person and the one who controls the person. So actually he is the one who, from whom mercy comes out, and therefore you are actually seeking mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and saying that, and indeed on me has befallen my Lord something the weight of which has distressed me.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
Rabbana. Another very important thing that we must realize before we go to the next phrase is that, because you know this dua is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam is only expressing this to Allah. He is not expressing it to anybody. And that is the way of a real believer, because actually in one very beautiful hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi is reported to have said, min kunuzil bir, from the treasures of abundant good, that vast good that a person can do. Because the word bir is not only good and virtue. Bir is that thing that a person does in a very comprehensive manner. It comes from the word bar. Bar is that land which is a vast land. So here the Holy Prophet is reported to have said, min kunuzil bir kitmanul masa'ib, hiding the calamities that a person gets. You'll find there are people in life, when you look at them, you find they are very happy. Yet they have so many afflictions. When you go to their home, you come to realize that, oh, this person is suffering from this thing, and he has this problem, and he has that problem. I thought he is well off, but he cannot afford even, let's say, one of his meals. If he has three meals a day, usually, he can't afford three meals. He only can afford two meals or one meal, yet outside, he is bashash, he is very happy, he is, you know, jovial in his encounter. This is actually the characteristic of a believer. But you find that this person, when it comes to spiritual elevation, he must be very high. You'll find that the person, his mind is working very powerfully, his interaction is very powerful, people love him, yet they don't know what are the problems that he is facing. And these great scholars were in the same manner. You find that these great scholars did not become great overnight just because of, you know, a fame which was a peripheral fame. No, it took them quite a while. They struggled. They became very powerful intellectually, spiritually. So this is one of the things that the Holy Prophet says, min kunuzil bir kitmanul masa'ib, one, wal amrad, and also hiding the maladies that a person encounters, the sicknesses that a person has. So you see, instead of telling other people, you know, I've got this problem and I've got this predicament and so on, you only tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, he says that was sadaqa also, that when you give charity, you also hide charity. These are min kunuzil birr. You find that these are very important things.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
So, in one way, we are also told that express it to Allah, no problem, but do not express it to other people, the problems that we face. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'asumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us start the day with short and sweet saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him. Say good wording and it will be your distinctive feature. Do good deeds and you will be reckoned with its people. This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. The lights.
Advanced robots are increasingly helping humans in a variety of innovative ways. Now, they have found a place in the healthcare system and will help nurses and doctors stay safe during the COVID-19 pandemic.
I can do all kinds of things for elderly people. I can visit with people and brighten their day with social stimulation, entertain and help guide exercise, but also can do talk therapy, take bio readings and help healthcare providers assess their health and deliver treatments.
Grace, which is the newest humanoid robot to join the healthcare fleet. This intelligent machine can take temperatures and record other vital signs of patients. It has been designed in a way to also interact with the elderly and those isolated by the pandemic. Grace is a new prototype of celebrity humanoid robot, Sophia, created by a robotic team in Hong Kong.
So we designed Grace to look professional in a healthcare setting. So that would mean so that she would resemble the sort of human-like appearance of healthcare staff. And so then this would facilitate more natural interactions. A human-like appearance facilitates trust and facilitates a natural engagement because we're wired for human face-to-face interactions. That's just the way human beings are.
Hansen, while standing between Sophia and Grace, also said that both robots could speak different languages. He said Grace's creation was aimed at relieving the burden of frontline hospital staff dealing with COVID-19 patients. The company is planning a mass production of Grace and offers them to the market by August. The cost of making this robot is similar to a luxury car, but the cost is likely to decrease once the company begins manufacturing it in thousands. A tiny worm has wriggled back to life after lying frozen for 24,000 years in the permafrost land of northern Siberia. The organism was recovered from soil samples taken from 3.5 meters below the ground in Russia's Yakutia region. It's a multicellular organism that can withstand extreme cold. This ancient worm has broken the record for the longest living abeloid rotifer worm. Previous research suggests that it could survive for a decade when frozen. Earlier, scientists also discovered 30,000-year-old microscopic worms from northern Siberia.
A herd of wild Asian elephants in China has turned into international stars after leaving their natural habitat in Yunnan province. The herd of 15 elephants is said to have left home in southwest China 15 months ago, but it was in April when they grabbed officials' attention after they were spotted by locals. The elephants have so far trekked nearly 500 kilometers across the country. They have traveled through villages and towns and even stopped for a rest. Local authorities have welcomed these mammoth travelers with treats of sweet corn and bananas. They are monitoring the elephants' movements with drones while keeping them away from residential areas. Thank you.
Australian scientists have discovered one of the world's largest ever dinosaur species in the Erromanga area in outback Queensland. Research shows the plant-eating sauropod lived between 92 million and 96 million years ago when Australia was attached to Antarctica. Paleontologists estimated the dinosaur was as long as a basketball court and as tall as a two-story building. That makes it the largest dinosaur ever found in Australia and one of the top five largest ones in the world. Bones of the dinosaur were first uncovered more than a decade ago by cattle farmers. Iranian capital Tehran has hosted a festival of cake sculptors. The event showcases delicious sweets that are carved into eye-catching sculptures. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's not a piece of cake to bake a sculpture, but pastry chefs here have made it. In the fourth festival of cake sculptures in Iran, sugarcraft artists from across the country have come under one roof in Tehran to cast their spell on these sweets and carve a wide range of fascinating 3D figures out of them. From this tasty coronavirus to this beautiful angel that is picking up the only eatable trash in the world.
Here you can see this angel, which represents the innocent heart of labor children, collecting pieces of trash that contain some of the simplest dreams of a labor child, such as quality food, books, and toys.
My cake is made based on what we call installation art. I have put together iconic structures and monuments of Iran. But when you take a look at them from a special angle, you can see Iran's map.
Some of the cake sculptures here have really pushed the envelope of the art of sculpting. Like this bust that shows the 13th century Persian poet Rumi, surrounded with a heavenly garden that's decorated with intricate and mind-boggling details. It took its creator almost a month to finish it.
In the middle, I have put the bust of Rumi, who we refer to as Maulana in Iran. He's holding his most significant verse work, Masnavi Manavi. The garden I created around him and the birds here all are inspired by his poems.
Organizers say they hold the festival every year to modernize the confectionery industry and combine it with fine arts to make it more appealing to the public.
500 works are showcased here in four sections. Bust cakes, wedding cakes, cookie cakes, which are made using royal icing, and the fourth section is cream cakes. The major goal is to scout for talents who can revolutionize the confectionery industry.
Some of the participants in the festival are pastry chefs who try to make their cakes look better, and others are actually pro sculptors who want to bake a figure instead of carving it. Perhaps it's easy to tell who is who by taking a glimpse at their cakes. But sweets will win the competition. They're both delicious and delicate.
It takes ultimate care and a knack for both bakery and artistry to be able to transform sweets into statues. In fact, they're both so spectacular and yummy that make you want to have the cake and eat it too. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Nowadays, phone addiction is causing an increasing number of accidents worldwide. A Korean engineer has come up with a creative, although satirical, way to tackle that issue. Pang Min-wook is a 28-year-old industrial engineer or designer. He has invented a robotic eyeball people can wear to avoid accidents when using their phones while walking. The device is strapped to the forehead and opens its eyelids when the users lower their heads. The third eye then beeps in warning when the user comes within 1 or 2 meters of an obstacle. Pang says his device is not a solution to the issue and hopes that people will understand the severity of their reliance on gadgets when they see their third eye.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc in India, some auto rickshaw drivers
have turned their three-wheelers into makeshift ambulances to provide patients with first aid services.
Those are patients.
In New Delhi, the municipal ambulances are often occupied. There are also some very narrow alleys or built-up areas that are inaccessible by regular-sized ambulances. In these cases, our makeshift ambulances came in handy then. We attend to people in need with oxygen cylinders.
Mishra, who started the Rickshaw Ambulance Initiative, says his center attends around 1,200 calls per day. He says rickshaw volunteers transport roughly 150 patients during peak hours. The brave drivers work 12-hour shifts and mainly serve people with mild symptoms. They wear full protective gear, including face shields, while on duty. The three-wheeler ambulances are easily identifiable by the large printed image of the fleet and emergency call numbers. Mishra says the fleet will continue running with all its might until the coronavirus is under full control in India. In Russia, drone enthusiasts have gathered in the capital, Moscow, to show off their technological creativity in a racing competition. The participants created their own drones and made changes to the models right on the site where the competition was held to improve their chances to win the contest. The goal was for the participants to complete the track in the shortest possible time. Participants say the interesting thing about the competition is that it's cheaper than other games.
It's a lot of fun. From the outside, it may not be so clear, but when you're inside it, it becomes really fun to talk, race with the competitors, learn from their experience some new technological things. As for the high cost, it is expensive, but when compared with the snowboards and skis, it is really cheaper, but more expensive than knitting.
In 2017, the International Federation of Aeronautics, or FAI, announced drone racing as an official sport. In 2018, Russia's sports ministry included drone racing in all Russian register of sports with a class code F3U following the FAI classification.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up preparations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and a Pris will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting Pris will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multi-purpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021. and support of the space station assembly, maintenance, and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yisa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yisa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild. A Brazilian artist has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sroa recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries. It consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size, with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiangdu ruins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friend. You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Our topic is the wisdom behind calamities. Thank you. Today, Friday, is the 30th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to Chapter Ankabut, verses 1 to 3.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ألف لام ميم.
ألف لام ميم.
أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون.
Do the people think that they will be left to say, we believe, and they will not be tried?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن واسق حياتي قرآن.
Trial is for proving the intrinsic intentions and qualities of a person to be true. In other words, this world is like a university or a farm. In a university, the talents open to blow, the competencies grow, and whatever is in the stage of potentiality reaches the stage of actuality. In this farm, the seeds must be planted. The shots and the sprouts must come out of their inside. These sprouts come out from the land, grow to be some small plants, and finally become some tall, fruitful trees. These things are not possible without experience and examination.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Calamities and disasters in life. The fire of calamity can be extinguished by thinking of those who have been hit even harder. Let him look to his right. Does he see anything but calamity? Then let him look to his left. Does he see anything but loss? If he were to look at the people around him, he would not see anything but people who are tested, either by missing out on something that they like or by having happened to them that which they dislike. The pains of this world are like dreams or like a passing shadow. If you laugh a little, you will weep a lot, and if you are happy for a day, you will be miserable for a lifetime. And if you have what you want for a little while, you will deprive for a long time. There is no day of happiness, but it is followed by a day of pain. For every moment of joy, there is a moment of sorrow. And no house is filled with joy, but it will be filled with sorrow. There is never any laughter, but there comes weeping after it.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to deal with how to come up with calamities and sorrows. I believe that usually men feel less sorrow. I mean, it doesn't mean that, men never feel sorrow, but the feeling of the state or the condition of feeling sorrow occurs to ladies much more than to men. Perhaps this is because, men usually have some outdoor activities, while women are expected to be more at home or to be very much concerned with their own mental or emotional status. In connection with this point, it's instructive to review some important anecdotes from the lives of great personalities. For example, when Imam Khomeini's elder son, the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini, was poisoned and martyred in Najaf, 1 or 2 years before the victory of the Islamic Revolution. If I'm not mistaken, it occurred in 1978 in Najaf. When the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini was the elder son of Imam Khomeini, and who himself was a great man of knowledge and scholarship, and he was a well-known mujtahid in Najaf. When he was poisoned and martyred in Najaf, it's related that Imam Khomeini wasn't such a personality to start shedding tears, in front of those people who used to come to his house in Najaf in order to express their condolences to him. Meanwhile, this type of pressure, especially the sad experience of losing such an erudite son and Ayatollah, a young Ayatollah in Najaf, was really a very unforgettable and unbearable experience. Some clerics over there went to Imam Khomeini and told him that it would be much better for his health to shed tears, but nothing could drive Imam Khomeini to shed tears, together with and in front of a large number of people who had gathered over there in his house. Meanwhile, one of the clerics started recounting some aspects, some sorrowful and tragic experiences of the day of Ashura and the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein's elder son, Ali al-Akbar. And it was at that time that Imam Khomeini started shedding tears profusely.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun shining with light, be like a rose spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special. You are with today's special and success in the light of calamities. The calamities of life provide men with a treasure of experiences and become a ladder to climb up to success and progress. Man gains experience only through hardships. In the light of those experiences, he does only those deeds continuously that give him advantage. He marches forward, crushing the mountains of hardships under his feet. No calamity can ever come in the path of his advancement. When the arrows of distress hit his chest, he tolerates the pain with a smiling face. Nietzsche says, "I love you so much, I wish you should see pains and sorrows. I show no mercy to you in this matter because I really love you. You already know why. It is so because I wish that your hidden abilities should blossom and that you should combat hard times with an armed soul."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha
know the wisdom behind calamity. To attain through submission and servitude to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Many people are slave to their whims and desires and are not true slaves of Allah, the Almighty. They say that they are slaves of Allah, but when they are tested, they turn on their heels and lose out in this world and in the hereafter. And that is an evidence loss. Allah says, "And among mankind is he who worships Allah as it were upon the edge that is in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face." That means reverts to disbelief after embracing Islam. He loses both this world and the hereafter. That is the evident loss. Chapter Al-Hajj, chapter 22 of the Holy Quran, verse 11.
To realize that we've been created in difficulty so that we are tested. Now in our modern times, especially with all the advancements we witness in society, our difficulties and problems are increasing. They're not decreasing. It's true, technology has helped us in many ways. But technology comes with a price. It has really complicated our lives. It has increased the burden on our shoulders. This is the century that we now are facing. I mean, for those of you who can recall 15, 20 years ago, before everyone had cell phones, convenient cell phones in their pockets, when you left home, you're driving on the street, you're going anywhere, you felt as if everything was fine. You didn't feel worried. You didn't feel you needed anything extra to make you comfortable. But now, the cell phone has become an organ in our bodies. We can't function without it. If you leave the house and you forgot your cell phone back home, you feel as if a part of your body stayed back behind. You're missing something. You can't function without it. Can you function without the internet? Technology has indeed complicated our lives. Although it also benefits us greatly, if you use it properly, of course. If we use it the right way and for the right causes.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
You heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.